Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote here in Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Tuesday, January 25, 2022. Families across Jonglei State mourn their loved ones killed during an attack on Bor County by young men suspected to be from Greater Pibor Administrative Area.
It was an organized attack by the youth from Greater Pibor Administrative Area, which has launched a very heavy attack yesterday at 5 p.m. over the innocent people of Baidi Payam.
And soccer fans in Cameroon mourn 6 people killed during a stampede at a football stadium in Yaoundé. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The acting governor of Jonglei State says more than 30 people, including men, women and children, were killed and 24 others were injured after a group of young men suspected to be from the Greater Pibor Administrative Area attacked Bor County on Sunday. Jonglei State authorities condemned the attack in Baidit Payam. The chief administrator of the Greater Pibor Administrative Area denies men from his area carried out the attack. Dengai Deng has this report for VOA from Bor.
Jonglei State Acting Governor Tuang Majuk says a large number of armed young men who are believed to have crossed into Bor County from the Greater Pibor Administrative Area invaded by Baidit Payam and touched several houses. He alleges the group killed 32 people and stole 2,600 head of cattle.
What had happened, actually, it was an organized attack by the youth from Greater Pibor Administrative Area, which has launched a very heavy attack yesterday at 5 p.m. over the innocent people of Baidit Payam. The attack took place and they were engaged by youth, and afterwards they destroyed the youth, and the youth of Baidit left 32 people dead and 24 other wounded.
The acting governor says he blames authorities in the Greater Pibor Administrative Area for doing very little to deter repeated attacks by young armed men from Pibor.
Those youths were in a very organized manner of attack. They got them somewhere in Pibor, as I was been seeing a video this morning. This video showing to me that the youths went. The youth mobilize themselves where there is an authority, because it's not totally a bush. People were in a very clean clothes, but they are carrying arms and they are chanting song of war and all this. This video, I got it this morning. And I think for this reason, Jonglei State is condemning in a very strongest term possible. Although our partners or our neighbors, they are not put us aware of the move of the youth in that number.
Earlier this month, authorities in Jonglei State convinced a large number of lone-wear young men who intended to carry out revenge attacks in the Greater Pibor area to return to Jonglei. Majuk says authorities in Jonglei are disappointed and may not persuade armed youth in the area from carrying out revenge attacks in Pibor.
Last year, when the youth from Lonware, 5,000 youth were about to move to Jonglei, to Greater Pibor, in a very organized way for the revenge attack, we engaged those youth for almost three to four weeks. And afterward, they have respected what we are telling them, because we know where those youth mobilized themselves from. We engage chiefs and engage commissioners in the ground, and whoever who may have an influence to the youth, we involve them until our youth accepted our call, and then they came back. By this time, I would not assure any media or the Republic of South Sudan that we shall be again in a control of the youth, because it is like we are using peace as a burden to them.
Locally, a mayor, the chief administrator for the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, condemns the attack in Bor County and says he was not aware of any planned attacks by young men from his area.
I want to condemn what happened, and I want to tell them that they are sorry for what happened, and we condemn what our youth is doing. Because youth doing, they cannot take us ahead, both sides of the youth. Youth are greater than both, and greater for Jongole. We have all of us to involve what the youth did. We need to sit down. Because if we support what youth doing, our civilians, the citizens. And if the Finnish themselves, we don't have people. Because we are leaders like in fish in the water. Without water, the Finnish cannot survive. Our politician, if our civilian Finnish themselves, we cannot be leaders.
The mayor says the killing of traders in Bor and the blocking of Juba P. Bor Road by suspected armed youth from Bor angered some young men from his area who might have gone for deadly revenge attacks in Bor.
There were 9 people in Bor. Youth was upset on that, and I used to tell youth that not any revenge. You need to stop. You need to stop. And again, now the blocking some roads, any car they want to go, even what we're talking now, there is some tractors, they stop it behind it. They were trying to go to Greater Bor. And again, inside of the dust, in this muddy road, and any traitors, now we stop. We don't bring any cattle to the city, to the Yuba, because they're ambushing. They killed the people who brought the cattle, they took the cattle.
Cattle raids, child abductions and reprisal killings are a common occurrence in Jonglei and the Greater P. Bor area. In March 2020, a community-led goodwill agreement was signed by communities in Jonglei and Greater P. Bor administrative area at a peace conference in Uror County. Traditional leaders, women, youth and cattle camp leaders attended the conference and discussed compensations for lives lost and the return of abducted women and children. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Bor.
And now for some sad news from Cameroon, where the African Cup of Nations is going on. Local media reports in Cameroon say at least 6 soccer fans died in a stampede at the Yaoundé Olembe Stadium before the host nation's round 16 game in the African Cup of Nations against Comoros. The continental soccer governing body, SACAFA, said it was aware of an incident at that stadium. Following a low turnout in the first round of the games at the new stadium built for the AFCON 2021 tournament, Cameroonian authorities have thrown open stadium gates, organized mass transport, and given out free tickets to fans to attend the match and support the host nation. BBC reports videos showed screaming fans being crushed at an entry gate to the Paul Biya Stadium in the capital Yaoundé. Witnesses told BBC there was a chaotic scene outside the grounds as thousands of fans struggled to get access. 2 children, aged 6 and 14, were among the dead, and 7 people were seriously injured. Cameroonian President Paul Biya ordered an investigation into the tragic incident. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, has also launched its own investigations. Local media quoted officials saying about 50,000 people tried to attend the match. The stadium has a capacity of 60,000. Still in Cameroon, the UNHCR, the United Nations Refugee Agency, is appealing for nearly $60 million US dollars for tens of thousands of victims of intercommunal clashes over dwindling resources in Cameroon's far north region. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The appeal is aimed at helping UNHCR and its partners provide needed humanitarian aid for those displaced by the crisis during the next 6 months. An ongoing dispute over diminishing water resources between herders on one side and fishermen and farmers on the other last month erupted into a violent confrontation. The UN Refugee Agency says 44 people were killed, more than 100 injured, and 112 villages burned to the ground. In the space of 2 weeks, UNHCR spokesman Boris Cheshikov says 100,000 people fled to neighboring Chad or elsewhere in Cameroon.
This has become a severe crisis because of the climate emergency. and the surface waters of Lake Chad shrinking, and the Longong River, which runs along the border between Cameroon and Chad. It demarks the border, and this is where the tensions began.
This crisis follows a previous deadly encounter in August. Some 45 people reportedly were killed, dozens injured, and more than 30 villages set ablaze. An estimated 23,000 fled to Chad or elsewhere in Cameroon. Cheshirkov says the appeal will provide critically needed relief over the next 6 months for both the displaced and those sheltering them in Chad and Cameroon. Priority needs, he says, include shelter, blankets, mats, and mosquito mats.
The funds will also cover growing water, sanitation, and hygiene needs, child protection, prevention and response to gender-based violence, documentation, education, all of these are urgent priorities. We estimate that 9 out of 10 of the Cameroonian refugees that are now in Chad as a result of this crisis are women and children.
Cheshirkov says the situation has calmed down in the last few weeks. He says security has been reinforced. He notes government-led reconciliation efforts supported by the UNHCR are underway. He adds urgent action is needed to address the root causes of the conflict. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, World Health Organization says COVID-19 is here to stay. Find out more after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. Question today.
What is most special about you?
I don't like disappointing people because of my actions. The way it pained me when somebody has disappointed me, I think about the same pain that I will cause to someone whom I have disappointed.
I'm someone who is very friendly and I can interact with different people without considering their conditions and their status.
One thing special about me, I love the way God has created me, and I love being myself. I don't need to disguise myself like somebody, or I don't need to put myself, pretend like someone. I appreciate the way God has created me.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. And in our Tuesday health segment, we take a look at what health experts have to say about COVID-19. The head of the World Health Organization is warning that COVID-19 will be around for an foreseeable future, and everyone will have to learn to live with it. The WHO chief issued the warning yesterday at the opening of the agency's week-long executive board meeting. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
2 years ago, the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a public health emergency of international concern. Then there were fewer than 100 cases and no deaths reported outside China. Those numbers now stand at nearly 350 million cases and more than 5.5 million deaths. WHO chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says it is hard to know when the pandemic will end. However, while the coronavirus is circulating, he says it will continue to mutate in unpredictable and dangerous ways.
It's dangerous to assume that Omicron will be the last variant or that we are in the endgame. On the contrary, globally, the conditions are ideal for more variants to emerge.
Tedros says countries must learn to manage this deadly disease and use the knowledge gained to prepare for future pandemics. To change the course of the pandemic, he says the conditions driving it must change. He says the acute phase of the pandemic can be ended this year if countries use all the strategies and tools available to combat COVID-19. He adds this will work only if all countries, rich and poor alike, have equitable access to vaccines, treatments, and other tools.
Vaccines alone are not the golden ticket out of this pandemic. But there is no path out unless we achieve our shared target of vaccinating 70% of the population of every country by the middle of this year. We have a long way to go.
The WHO chief notes 86 countries have not been able to reach last year's target of vaccinating 40% of their populations. He warned the emergency phase of the pandemic will not end until the gap between the haves and have-not countries is bridged. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Moudou. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Still on medical issues, China has been exporting traditional Chinese medicine around the world, including to countries in Africa, with claims of helping with COVID-19. These herbal clinics are welcomed by some, while others are raising concerns about the effectiveness of such medicine and the lack of regulations in the field. Victoria Munga reports from Nairobi.
My life now is not that productive.
85-year-old Hingpal Singh is among dozens of patients with daily appointments at the Oriental Chinese Herbal Clinic in Nairobi. Singh has been suffering from spinal problems for 5 years and is now trying out this clinic for treatment.
There is a slight difference. As I was telling him that it's only a week now, he says it'll take at least maybe another at least 12 to 15 sessions, and then we see how it goes.
Traditional Chinese medicine, or TMC, is becoming more popular in Africa, according to a 2020 study by Development Reimagined, a Beijing-based international consultancy firm.
A February 2020 op-ed written by a Beijing think tank researcher and published in state media China Daily said such traditional medicine will boost the Chinese economy, contribute to global health, and prove to be a shot in the arm for China's soft power.
But conventional medical doctors say patients are overlooking the potential harm that some herbal remedies can cause, especially if used too frequently or too high a dosage.
They do work quite a number of circumstances. Now, having said that, our main worry as the practitioners, the medical practitioners, is that the use of herbal medicine is not as regulated as we would want it to be.
This is Chinese ginseng.
Although the safety and effectiveness of the traditional Chinese medicine is still debated worldwide, herbal practitioners like Li Shuang continue to gain popularity among those seeking alternative medication. Li claims some of his patients are benefiting from purported COVID-19 remedies, although there's a scant scientific evidence that they can help against the disease.
Many people buy herbal tea to prevent COVID-19. The result is good.
Environmentalists fear the growth of traditional Chinese medicine will encourage poachers to go after endangered wildlife like rhinos and some species of snakes used in making the potions.
The rhino in Kenya is actually one of the good examples. With people saying that the rhino horn may actually help in improving to be used as an aphrodisiac, this has led to almost complete annihilation of the rhino species in Kenya and in Africa in general.
Kenya spends an estimated $2.7 billion each year on healthcare, according to national statistics. Some economists say herbal medicine can significantly lower the cost of medical expenses in the continent if proven effective.
Africans spend quite a bit of money traveling to countries such as India, the UAE, to get treatment. So if this can provide more natural, more cost-effective healthcare, because cost-effectiveness is a big reason of why people choose different types of healthcare.
In 2021, Kenya's national drug regulator, the Pharmacy and Poisons Board, approved the sale of Chinese herbal health products in the country. Practitioners like Li hope that more nations will approve Chinese herbal medicine in the future. Victoria Amunga for VOA News, Nairobi.
That's all we prepared for you this Tuesday. We now take you back to Nairobi with Jamnazi Africa and the song Rizigi. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us this evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers, because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Mimi nalo jambo la nisumbua akili. Ulimwengu umepasuka mahali. Mungu alipanga usiku saa ya kulala. Mbona walimwengu mumebadili mipango?
siku sasa imegeuka mchana, na mchana sasa ni kama usiku jamani. Mi nashangaa. Tafuta usiku, kodi za nyumba muna tafuta usiku, biashara nyingi mwafanya usiku, chai kwa mkate sasa mwauza usiku, mahindi choma sasa mwauza usiku, mali mali sasa mwauza usiku, hata maombi nyingi mwafanya usiku. Inange muna tafuta usiku, wake kwa waume shughuli zenu usiku, hata safari nyingi mwaenda usiku, biashara nyingi mwafanya usiku. Kwa nini? Mi nashangaa. Solo tafuta usiku, kodi za nyumba muna tafuta usiku, biashara nyingi mwafanya usiku, chai kwa mkate sasa mwauza usiku, mahindi choma sasa mwauza usiku, mali mali sasa mwauza usiku, hata maombi nyingi mwafanya usiku. Inange muna tafuta usiku, wake kwa waume shughuli zenu usiku, hata safari nyingi mwafanya usiku, biashara zote mwafanya usiku. Kwa nini? Mi nashangaa. Manane muna tafuta riziki, nambieni mwapumzika sangapi wenzangu? Mi nashangaa. Niliambiwa na babu yangu kweli suba suba utapata mwana si wako. Niliambiwa na babu yangu kweli suba suba utapata mwana si wako. Niliambiwa na babu yangu kweli suba suba utapata mwana si wako. Nimeamini kilichosemwa na babu, nimekubali kilichosemwa na babu. Gaga na upwa hali wali mkavu, lakini sasa mwapumzika sangapi? Asubuhi muna tafuta riziki, mchana kutwa muna tafuta riziki, hata
hata majioni munatafuta riziki, usiku wa manane munatafuta riziki. Nambieni mwapumzika sangapi wenzangu, wako niliambiwa na babu yangu kweli.